Hey, everybody, this is Matthew Soltysiak, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast. This season, it's all grit. I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players, gaining more insight on what makes this team go. The Detroit Lions are now in a new, grittier era, and we look beyond just the kneecaps when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode. In this episode, we're going to hit on a couple of highlights from the NFL draft experience. We'll hear briefly from Barry Sanders and hear from a number of Detroit Lions legends and talk all things Lions as they help raise money in local communities around Michigan. Let's get to it, Lions fans.
Hi, this is Billy Sims, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast.
Well, let's start with that draft experience. Last-minute decision. My daughter and I decided we were going to head to Detroit and do about a 26-hour tour. Get there, go see the festivities, and head home. And we did that on day three. We got to check out the new uniforms. We got to put on the new helmets and jerseys. We got to see the Lombardi Trophy. The interactive games were fun for my daughter. I was able to compete with her as well. She enjoyed that. And we even visited the Dan Campbell Zoltar machine. And, you know, if you're of a certain age and you're a big fan of that movie Big, how could you not love this adaptation of that? There are a whole host of other things as well. And we'll get more to those in the next episode when James Cook joins me and we can kind of break it down and share our experiences with you guys, because he was there on nights one and two. I was there on day three. So now let's talk about some other things that took place. There were a number of current and former player sightings going on as well. You know, from a distance, we were able to see Amon-Ra St. Brown. We saw Tommy DeVito in the distance as well from the New York Giants. We actually got to see Billy Sims. He is the number one overall pick from the 1980 draft of the Detroit Lions, of course. And he was a guest on our show last year. So it was really nice getting to see Billy close up there. The other thing that's still really incredible about Billy Sims is he is still the second leading rusher in Detroit Lions history all these years later. So it was just great to see him there and interacting with the fans. And that, again, just lots of awesome activities going on there. We also got super lucky. Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good, because sometimes luck just finds you. My daughter and I just stumbled upon this thing where we got to listen to Barry Sanders talk to just us and a few others. You know, it was great. We didn't even expect it to happen. We kind of came upon it, and there he was. And Barry spoke to us and a few others, and he had a really great tidbit to share about this Detroit Lions team.
How I feel about the Lions getting so close to the Super Bowl? I feel great. I feel like all of us Lions fans were rewarded, although there's disappointment that we came so close, and that even not only did we come close, but we were dominating the NFC Championship game the first half. And there's no reason why this team can't get back and even further. The way you've seen them trend in the right direction over the last few years, but there's pain, but there's also some satisfaction that we won the two playoff games. We've so showed great improvement. And I think it's going to go on from there.
So that's what I'm going to share about the Detroit Lions NFL draft experience. Again, awesome hearing from Barry and getting that close up with him. Such a great, unexpected experience. So that was great. After the trip to Detroit, my daughter and I, we headed to Cadillac, Michigan, where we were able to catch up with some other Detroit Lion legends playing basketball, part of a Northern Michigan tour, where they visited Traverse City earlier in the day, and they traveled to Alpena the night before. Now, I first spoke with former Lions tight end Rob Rubick. Now, he is from the Upper Peninsula, and he did play for the Lions from 1982 to 1988. We talked all things Lions, including the position he knows best, tight end. Rob, let's just start. You guys are here in Cadillac with Detroit Lions legends supporting the Cadillac Firefighters Association. Tell me, how long have you been involved with this, and how did you get started?
Well, I think this is either my 33rd or 34th year, at least, running this organization as a fundraiser. I work with a promoter named Barry Faulkner with Wolverine Productions. He helps police, firemen, 4-H clubs, any nonprofit organization raise money, because, you know, with their economy now, there's not always money in the budget for everything the police or the firemen need to be safe. And we have to understand, for them to be safe keeps us safe. So it's a win-win for everyone.
Awesome. Now, being here doing this, you get to interact with fans. Can you kind of tell us a little bit about that experience?
Well, you watch. You've been here before. You understand that we have fun. We bring a bunch of young people from the ages of 5 to 15 out to play with us, and they have fun. And when the kids have fun, the parents are happy. Parents are happy. Everyone's happy. And I always tell people that. They say, are you guys really having fun? I said, you can fake a lot of things. You can't fake fun. My guys have a blast. I mean, we never know. I don't know. We have certain skits we do year after year. But every game, there's new stuff. We were in Traverse City earlier. Brock Gutierrez comes out with a gladiator helmet on that he found in the locker room, and he wore it the entire second half. And he has a large melon, and it was quite tight on that head, but it was funny. And I've done over 800 of these games in the 30 years, and I still laugh. Guys do stuff because they improv, and it's funny.
Nice. That also probably makes it more fun for the crowd. Now, with the Lions having such a great season, with it being draft season or draft weekend, how does that help with the crowd here as well?
Well, everyone, there's a buzz. Let's not fool ourselves. We benefit from what the current fellas are doing. Now, they benefited from us because I went through two strikes to help them make that kind of monopoly money they make nowadays, which we never weren't privy to. But it's nice because the success they have, people are excited again about the Lions. They're excited for this coming season. They're excited about last season. And it trickles over, and we get to feel that love as alumni.
All right, now, Rob, you played tight end for the Lions. I've heard many people say, other than quarterback, that might be the second most difficult position to transition to in the NFL.
No question. Because people got to understand, you have to know all the run-blocking combinations like the offensive linemen do. You have to know all the combination routes like the receivers do. You have to understand pass blocking like the offensive linemen do. Flare control by the running backs, what they're doing, because it makes you understand what you're doing. You have to be able to read coverages. You have to know linebacker drops. You have to do it all. You know pretty much what the quarterback knows. The difference is we don't touch the ball every play like they do.
That makes sense. And considering it is that difficult, we saw what Sam Laporta did last year and one of the most incredible rookie seasons for a tight end. What did you like about his game?
Everything. I like the fact that he's a true tight end in every sense of the word. So, yeah, what I like about Sam Laporta, he's not afraid to put his hand in the dirt. He is a complete tight end. Like Brock Bowers coming out, I don't consider him a tight end. You know, they're talking about the kid from Georgia. Well, because they flex him out 90% of the time. He's like Travis Kelce. Is going to Hall of Fame as a tight end? He's not a tight end. George Kittle? Tight end. Lines up, smacks linebackers, collapses the edge, can run down the field, catch the ball. And that's what we have with Sam Laporta. What a great draft pick.
Now, with Laporta having such an emergence, St. Brown being as good as a player as he's been, and Jamison Williams progressing, do you think the Lions need a prototypical X receiver that might not be on the roster?
I do. They lost, Reynolds was pretty much that guy last year. They don't have the big body outside guy that can run the fade stop like a Herman Moore, Kelvin Johnson types that we've had over the years. They really don't have them, so I'm not sure how the draft is going to take, because some of us have been working, as you have. Hopefully they get a big receiver. Now, I also believe receivers, for the most part, are a dime a dozen. It's not a knock on them. There's just so many good ones out there. Few great ones. There's only a few Kelvins, a few Hermans over the year, Larry Fitzgerald. But there's a lot of them that are good. Go out and find a big one to work with Amon-Ra in the slot. I like Khalif Raymond if he's healthy. So they, and Jameis, he's only going to get better. Let's remember, we have a limited sample size watching him play.
All right, well, the division seems to be getting much better this year. What's it going to take for the Lions to be successful again?
Number one, and this is not coaches speak or broadcaster speak, you have to stay healthy. The difference between winning and losing the NFL is very minuscule. You look at the teams that win each year, look how healthy the Lions stayed last year for the most part. A few linemen in and out during the course of the year, but had enough depth there to cover it. You have to stay healthy. The greatest example I give is in 85 when the Bears considered the best team, one of the best teams ever. Won the Super Bowl. They had starters miss a total of 13 games. The same year we had starters miss 167. Well, it's tough. They're starters for a reason. They're better than the backups. You need them to play. And if the Lions stay healthy, that's the number one thing. And they need the offensive line to play well again to protect Jared Goff.
Awesome. Any final thoughts on the Lions or what you're doing here today?
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm a huge Lions fan. I'm an alumni, but I love them. I love Dan Campbell. I think Brad Holmes is brilliant. He's got the Midas touch right now. Everything he touches turns to gold. So as my sons say, I have two sons that are huge Lion fans in their 20s. They said, we trust in Brad.
Awesome. And it seems everybody trusts in Brad for the drafting. How about Dan for the coaching?
I love Dan as a motivator, as even a technician, as a guy that connects with players. His game management, he will improve. He makes mistakes, in my opinion, occasionally. But that's opinion. That's my opinion. I think he'll only get better. But what he does is he believes in his players. They believe in him. And that's the biggest number one thing that he brings to the table.
Awesome, Rob. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Next up, I was able to visit with former center Brock Gutierrez, who had a 9-year playing career in the NFL, and he played for the Lions in 2005. Brock, tell me how you decided to get involved with Detroit Lion Legends basketball.
You know, it started as a player. I did this, played in a bunch of games for a couple years when I was a player back, you know, 18, 19 years ago. And just Rob's always kept me involved and just enjoy going around to these communities and playing a little basketball and having some fun.
Awesome. You've been able to help raise money in local communities and also re-engage and meet with fans. What's that experience been like?
It's been great. You know, just being able to help out, whether it's the fire department or the school or the DARE program or the fraternal order of police, whatever. Those are typically who we're playing against to raise money for. And just being able to help those organizations out has been great. Just going all around the state and connecting with fans that are fans of the Lions. I mean, they might not, most of these guys, they don't remember Rob playing or me or some, most of these people playing, but they love the Detroit Lions, and that's what it's all about. And that's part of our fraternity, and we were all part of that organization. And just getting out there and just connecting with folks that love the Detroit Lions are such a huge, yes, we all know the Lions are really good this year, which is fantastic, but even when they had some lean years, there was always a great turnout at these events, and just having the folks just get out and seeing some guys that played for the Lions and just kind of sharing their connection with that organization is always great.
I think you hit nail on the head there. It's got to be one of the most loyal fan bases in professional sports. How fun was it to see the fortunes arrive in the last year and a half to 2 years?
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, I grew up in the state of Michigan, went to Central Michigan University. I was a Lions fan growing up. Certainly is one of the most loyal fan bases that you can ever be around. And just kind of seeing these folks get to see, somebody that played for their favorite team is always cool. Whether there's, they don't remember me playing or some of these other guys, they've been around a lot longer than these kids that are coming in here. But just the fact that, they get to meet a Detroit Lion, a former Detroit Lion, is pretty special. And it's great to be a part of. There's no doubt.
Awesome. Have you been able to keep up and watch the Lions at all?
Well, of course. Yeah. I actually went to my first NFL game this fall. I went to a Lions playoff game with some friends of mine, which was pretty cool and great to see. I played in a heck of a lot of NFL football games, but never went and watched one from the stands, so that was pretty fun.
Awesome. What do you think it's going to take for the Lions to stay competitive in a division that is getting that much more competitive?
This league is, it's the players always have a saying, NFL stands for not for long. And it is a week by week love hate relationship with fans and everybody around the world, and especially in today's day and age with instant gratification. But just to be able to soak in what happened in 2023, I certainly think they've got the foundation right to build on and getting as far as they did in the playoffs. I mean, if you win a couple of games, that's big time, and getting to the Super Bowl is very, very special. And I know a lot of people think, next year's Super Bowl, and that's a great goal to have. But just, being competitive, getting back to the playoffs, and then once you get to the playoffs, anything can happen, and you go on a run, and the hot team wins. The Lions were hot when the playoffs started this year, and let's hope they can continue to build on that, But it is, I think they certainly have the foundation, and they've done it the right way this time, and that's fun to see.
Up next was a fan favorite, fullback Corey Schlesinger. He played with the Lions from 1995 all the way to 2006, and he was a 3-time Pro Bowler. All right, Corey, you're involved here in Cadillac to help out with the Detroit Lions basketball to help support money for the Cadillac Firefighters Association. Tell me a little bit about that and why you got involved.
Rob Rubick has been doing it for over 30-some years now. So, this is a way for us not only to get a chance to see our fans up close, but also to raise money for a very worthy cause. Firemen, police officers, teachers, whoever we're going to raise the money for. We can bring the crowd in here. We can raise some good money. And that's the whole idea of this. For one thing, we want to give back, and also that we want to raise some money for a good, worthy cause.
Awesome. Now, one thing that has maybe given a little bit of bigger crowd to you guys this year is how well the Lions did last year. And one thing they did really well is run the ball, which is something you know about doing. What impressed you about the Lions running game this last season?
Well, it helps when you also have a throwing game too. That when you have a throwing game, the running game works, and then when you have good running backs and a line that block, it's, it makes a huge difference. Passing wise, the defense, or not defense, our offensive line did a great job protecting, and you know, so they had plenty of time to throw the ball. So they're running the routes right also. So there was a lot of very positive things that were going on out there. But the running game is very exciting. The only thing is I didn't see a fullback. I mean, what's going on, Dan Campbell? Fullbacks.
That is definitely a big changing trend in the NFL these days. It will be interesting to see. There is not currently a fullback on the Lions roster. Are you hoping that that comes through?
Someday some team will have a fullback that's great. Also, they're like, oh, let's all run fullbacks now again. So it just kind of it kind of goes in phases, I guess. But do you need one? Our running backs are running really strong. They've really done a really good job. Linemen is doing a good job making holes for them too. So having an extra guy in the backfield, is it going to make a difference or not? I don't know.
Speaking of the backfield and whatnot, the Lions had a lot of success this offseason, running the ball, passing the ball, everything came together. The last time it was like that was a long time ago. Were you able to enjoy any of the success this season?
Absolutely. I really enjoy when they do run the ball. And I think they emphasize running the ball. But, you know, throwing the ball was very – I mean, these receivers just got paid, man, because of their production on the team right now. So, St. Brown, you know, congratulations, man. Tell you what, that's good. But that's what should happen. You know, we kept our players and we kept our coaches. So I'm hoping that it will be a repeat of next year. But, you know, now let's take it to all the way to the top and win the Super Bowl too.
All right, well, speaking of coaches, you played with Dan Campbell for a couple of years. Do you have any memories of that experience?
I played with Dan. He was just a hardworking player. I mean, he's a hardworking coach too. His intensity as a coach is the same as it was a player. He's a very intelligent guy. He knows the game really well. I got a chance to play with Chris Buehlmann also. So, you know, two guys on the organization that are making great strides on this program, and I had opportunity to play with both of them.
That's awesome. Now it's draft weekend. Can you take me back and tell me what it was like for you when you got drafted?
Yeah, it was not like it is now, let's put it that way, but it was pretty exciting. It was back when it was Saturday, Sunday, and you know, I didn't get invited to the combines, senior bowl games, but when the combine, the NFL came to Nebraska, I tested out really well. I ran well. I lifted well. I did well in my testing, whatever they wanted me to do. And, you know, the Lions came in there and said, hey, listen, we want you to come here, and you're not going to run the ball. You're not going to catch the ball. You're going to block for number 20 only. And I'm like, all right, let's do it. Well, that worked for about 9 weeks, and then it didn't work out too well. But that was under Wayne Fonz, under the run and shoot, you know. But then Bobby Ross came in, and then you know, he was able to have a 2,000-yard season with a fullback in front of him. I mean, it wasn't just me. It was Tommy Vardell also. You know, he was the starting back, and I got to get in there and do some work with him. So it was just a great time that get a block for one of the best in the country.
Well, you say it didn't work out too well at first, but you had a pretty great career. The Lions fans loved you, so I don't want you to understate your presence and what people think of you.
Well, I mean, it didn't work out because not really because I was doing anything wrong. It's just, you know, the system wasn't fit for a fullback, and you know, when Bobby Ross came in too, he liked to run between tackles. So I'm like, all right, it's more of a option for me to show off some of my talents, but then I didn't have enough experience running or catching the ball, so that was kind of the downfall for me then. But then, after a few years of that, I was able to show them I could do what they need from me, and that's why that's when I took over the starting position. But yeah, I just you know, back in the day too, they actually had special teams. Also, they had the wedge. They had people that go break the wedge up, and I fit that bill really well for that. And it was a good opportunity for me to play back when I did.
Nice. Last question then is, what advice would you give to a rookie? I know it's a different time today, but someone making that transition from college to the pro, it's still a transition. Any thoughts, anything you learned or whatnot that you would pass on?
Well, it just depends on what organization came from, too. I mean, I came from a program that was, you know, we were at the top level back then. You know, if you came from a smaller school, I'd probably be like, oh, my goodness, it's going to be a lot different. You know, these guys are faster and stuff like that. But everybody's, you know, they're all pretty fast and stuff like that. But my one thing is, save your money.
And any final thoughts on things you're looking forward to for the Lions this year?
I'm just looking for another repeat. I'm just hoping that everything goes along and does well. You know, we make sure we don't have injuries. And I think, you know, the way we're looking, I think we should be a pretty competitive, very successful team again.
Awesome. My final interview was with former Detroit Lion quarterback Mike McMahon. Now, he played with the Lions from 2001 to 2004. You might remember during that time, the Lions drafted Joey Harrington. I believe that was in 2002. Now, Mike and I were able to talk offensive line play and how the game has really changed in that time, among other things. Awesome. What caused you to get involved with this?
It's just a good way to get back and, you know, get back, see my friends in Michigan, see some of the former players, see some of the teammates, see some fans, and you know, just be back out there and give back a little bit.
Awesome. Have you been able to keep up with the Lions at all?
Oh, yeah. I grew up in Pittsburgh. I still live in Pittsburgh. I hate the Steelers. My whole family hates the Steelers. My nephew never really got a chance to see me play, but he's not a Steelers fan. He's a Lions fan. Everyone's like, why are you guys rooting for the Lions for years? And I'm like, nah, they're coming. And last year was a huge year. It was awesome. I went to the alumni game 2 years ago. Last year, I was coaching the Pittsburgh area. I couldn't get back. I planned on coming back, but I couldn't. But was super excited. Ended up coming back for the last game. Did Rob's chalk talk in the stadium. Got to see that game against the Vikings. And I brought my nephews back. And they never got a chance to see me play, but they got a finally chance to see where I played in Ford Field and stuff. So it's been fun. And, yeah, I'm a diehard Lions fan.
Awesome. Well, you got to experience that atmosphere at Ford Field. It don't seem to have gone to a completely different level. Can you kind of talk about that?
No, it's just exciting. I mean, it's just a long time coming. I remember when they hired Dan Campbell through his interview. I ended up writing him a letter. I don't know if he ever got it, but I was really impressed with what he said. And then how he built his staff, how he hired a bunch of former players that you know, have been successful, but also know how to teach the positions as well. I remember back when I played, we had some good coaches, but, you know, every single position group was not coached by, you know, great coaches. And in fact, for me, my best quarterback coach was the backup, which was Ty Detmer. And so I learned a lot more from Ty. And, you know, it's just, I went on the Eagles a little bit, the Vikings, and they have these guys that, I get it, you know, you can coach, but when you play at the highest level and you've been there in that position and that guy speaks on it, it means more to a player. I know for me, and I think, you know, sometimes coaches are like, oh, you just got to throw the ball away. I'm like, easy for you to say. If I throw it away, it's a penalty, you know, or it's picked. So sometimes, you know, when you got a coach that's been there and be like, ah, that's a tough one, and you just got to eat that one, not fumble it, you know. He gets it, and I love what Dan Campbell's done with the staff. I love, you know, Mark Brunell's there. You've got JT Barrett helping out as well as an intern coach or offensive assistant quarterbacks. All the guys, you know, former players, and I think he's doing it the right way. To me, I grew up in Pittsburgh. I was a Steeler fan, played against them, hate them now. To me, but Dan Campbell, what he's doing and how he's handling the organization, to me, is the modern-day Bill Cowher. How he's building that team, tough, grit, no nonsense, he's doing an awesome job, and I think they're going to have many successful years to come, and, you know, they've earned it. The city's earned it, the franchise has earned it, and it's awesome.
Well, these last 2 years is the first time the Lions have had a consistently good running game since Barry Sanders' days. They have an amazing tight end in Sam Laporta. They have Amon-Ra St. Brown. They have Jamison Williams. How much would you have liked to have played with some of those players?
Well, you know, don't forget that offensive line they got, too. I mean, they've got one of the best offensive lines in the league. And for a while, we were running for your life a little bit. But, you know, we had like one or two good guys on the O-line, but not enough. And, you know, we couldn't plug every hole. And now, you know, that line is phenomenal. Love the fact that they got the run game going. Play action pass definitely helps. It definitely helps the passing game. Takes pressure off the quarterback. I love what Goff's doing. He's extremely smart. Love that they didn't go reach in the past 2 years. You know, there was talk last year they should go in the first. No, no, no. Jerry Goff is extremely good quarterback. He's a Pro Bowler, and I think he's got many years to come. He's extremely smart. He knows the game. Love what he's doing. Love the O-line. Love the run game. You know, Amaron St. Brown and how he, you know, with Jamison Williams taking off the top. And, I mean, it's just everything is going. Now they, you know, this year they picked up a couple, you know, defensive draft choices, two corners to shore up that spot. And I think, you know, they're on the right track. I love what they're doing. And then, again, like you said, Sam Laporta. Sam Laporta is like a quarterback's best friend. You know, especially when you can get a run game, the tight end, to me, is the piece that you need to have. If you have a good run game, you have a tight end, that play action pass opens. And you go look, you look at the four teams in the finals this past year. You got Sam Laporta, George Kittle. Then you got, you know, Mark Andrews with Isaiah Likely, and then Travis Kelce. So, like, arguably the four best tight ends in the league. And so the fact is that, you know, they've got that game going. David Montgomery was a huge pickup. I was extremely excited when they got him, watching him run for Chicago the past few years. Hard-nosed runner. And then seeing Gibbs progress. I know a lot of people were unhappy with that pick. And I just kept on telling, like, my, you know, people that I know, I'm like, be patient, be patient. He's just got to learn how to time it up. And you can just tell he's a weapon.
I will say your athleticism back in the day really helped you moving around with those offensive line holes. So I applaud you on that. I remember those moments quite well. But I will ask you this then. The NFC North looks like it's getting better and tougher. What's it going to take for the Lions to continue off what they've built the last couple of seasons?
Good time for to bring the black jerseys back, because the black and blue of the North, NFC North, is back. And hopefully the black and blue of the Lions is going to be the one on top. You know, they've got obviously the Packers emerged last year. Jordan Love did a great year. They've got, you know, two new quarterbacks. To me, you know, you've got Justin Jefferson, you got Aaron Jones now on the Vikings, you got Jordan Addison, they've got, and TJ Hawkinson, they've got plenty of weapons. Can that rookie quarterback, JJ McCarthy, actually thought he was kind of one of my favorite ones of the draft? I liked him better than Caleb Williams just because I liked his mindset, I liked his mentality, I liked his maturity. Caleb Williams is extremely talented, but to me right now, he's just a little on the immature side, but they have some weapons. You know, they have Keenan Allen. They picked up the Washington receiver, Oduze, or whatever, and then DJ Moore, and now they have DeAndre Swift. So it's going to be a higher-powered offensive, you know, in the black and blue NFC North. And you know, it's a good thing that we went out and got some defense this year, because we're going to need it, you know, because there's going to be some shootouts. But back to what you said about running around and being mobile, I'm so mad at my parents. I was born 20 years too early, because now I fit this game. You know, run around, make some plays, strong arm.
Folks, this was about the most action-packed Detroit Lions day without attending an actual football game that I have ever been to. We're going to have more insight on the draft experience and some analysis on the picks made in the draft as well, coming up here in the next day or so. Thank you so much for tuning in, folks. Hope you enjoyed this episode. You can find more episodes and content in the written form at notthesameoldlions.com. If you're listening on YouTube, please hit that like button. And while you're at it, tell your friends about the show. And please subscribe regardless of your listening platform. Until next time, stay gritty, my friends.